Hey, go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow and download your free audiobook now. Audible has more than 75,000 titles to choose from. It's like the Library of Congress, only better. And guess what? They play on all kinds of devices. Computers, MP3 players, iPods, iPhones, and yes, even the Zune. Again, go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow and download your free audiobook today. Do it for us, please.
Stuck in traffic on the damned Ryan Expressway in Chicago, I'm Colin Bird.
From Roswell, New Mexico, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Dalibor Bordomovsky.
I'm Eric Tritko.
I'm your urban Führer with no sex appeal, Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 41, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like a stern father figure, I mentor and encourage our weekly participants to deliver the best podcast possible. For the most part, they're a good bunch, but sometimes they need a little reminder of who's the boss and what a cohesive Zen-like theme is. Last week, I was out of town, and the group decided to have a party without me. They figured they could round up their own news stories, fit them to a theme, and bang out a show. Amateurs. Thankfully, though, instead of returning to a house turned upside down and a mess on the rug, all I got was an earful of disappointment, which is a lot less to clean up, let me tell you. And we're going to more than make up for that, last week's Tritko-led fiasco, with a totally kick-ass episode this week. And that's not a joke, because we've got a very special guest joining us live in the studio as I speak, or pre-recorded if you're listening to the edited version of the show, of course. Anyway, we have Mr. Dalibor Bordomovsky joining us.
Hello. Hello, Dalibor. This is
Roundabout.
Dalibor.
That is freaking awesome.
We conjured up, after I read that audio ghost book, we conjured up Mr. Armstrong and had him cut that for us. So
beautiful, yeah, beautiful.
I like it.
Brings a tear to my eye.
You're lying, I can see.
More like beads of sweat on my forehead.
So, Mr. Domovsky, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're glad you could make it, you know, leaving the kids home alone, I guess, or
She's 8 months old. I figure she can fend for herself. Yeah. Almost stand.
You gotta cut them loose at some point. You know, you can't baby them their whole lives.
Nope.
But we also have another special guest joining us as well, the Birdman, Colin Bird from Chicago.
Yo.
I was waiting for that. I'm glad you could make it. It was touch and go there for a minute, Colin. We didn't know if you'd be able to get on.
I had a big migraine, so I stayed home today. But I figured, you know, why not exacerbate that?
Migraine.
We love you too, Colin. And Michelle Naranjo.
Yes.
You're out in the New Mexico this week.
I am. I'm in Roswell.
You're quite itinerant. You'll be in Detroit next week.
I will.
Long Beach, New Mexico, all these different... Detroit, how do you do it?
You know, you'd think I would pick more interesting places if I really wanted to be a jet setter.
Yeah.
It's the blue-collar jet set.
Exactly.
And, of course, Eric Tritko is joining us, as usual. Yeah, he's Eric certainly is on the show.
Wow. That's like Sling Blit.
And you were the host last week. How did that go, Eric?
Quite well, I thought.
You were able to step up to the big boy's chair.
Yes.
Wrangle in all these guests here.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to it. It was certainly a show.
Yeah, and it was, well, you know, it was under like 90 minutes. It was quite on
quite
point.
Quite tight by roundabout standards. That's impressive. You were Eric the Knife Tritko.
He was a stern conductor.
Yes. Wielding your big 2-foot machete, just slicing and dicing.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Better be careful. You don't want to hurt yourself. Cut yourself on that blade. Dangerous. Don't want to have to go in for some cosmetic surgery, perhaps, to your body if you hurt yourself. That was a segue, Ben.
Body.
Body, yes.
I heard the word body.
Well, This week's theme is bodies, plural, as in more than one. You know, human bodies, car bodies, bodies of knowledge, they all kind of fit the same theme, which is body this week.
They're everywhere.
They're body snatchers, Michelle. They're coming to get you. Okay, so our first body-themed story, Eric, we've got you set up with this one. Comes courtesy of Autoblog. What's going on here?
So there is a Russian artist.
Are you wearing a Hewlett-Packard shirt?
Yes.
And you have
Why?
A Macintosh?
Because As back about 12 years ago, about 12 years ago when I was responsible for doing some IT stuff for a company I worked at the time, we bought 22 LaserJet 4 printers.
And you get a free coupon or a free shirt when you cut out the
they gave us
the codes
the
and send
tops.
Them in.
Exactly. No, well, when I went to the supplier, they're like, they gave us a bunch of crap, and this was one of the things that they gave me was this shirt.
Very nice. Yeah. So back on target, bodies, LADA, how do they go together or don't?
Well, surprisingly, this LADA hadn't been infected by metal termites, which is somewhat surprising. Or maybe it had, and that's what was the crux of the creation here. But
yes,
an artist decided to take his old LADA. And
which is a Russian car, right, for those who may not know.
Yes.
See.
And decided to create a 6.5-foot-tall, 200-pound robot statue that, I don't know, it's not exactly Transformers, but it's very anime. Mm-hmm. It's kind
it's
of
hot.
Creepy.
It's hot.
Michelle likes the pecs on it, I think.
But there's a lot of this is cool just from a construction standpoint because there's a bleep ton of welding that had to be done on this thing, and it's pretty cool looking, actually. I think it's kind of cool looking.
Oh, it is cool looking, but it's only 200 pounds. That's what I was surprised by because you'd think it look 6.5 feet tall. You'd think it'd be more than that, but
that's
that
about
metal.
What a lot of weighs.
Yeah,
I said you could probably a lot is probably like a Volkswagen Beetle. It's You could use one for bench pressing.
I couldn't, but
well,
we won't go there.
Some people
yes.
are more developed than 4-year-old kids, you know.
Eric is brutally honest, if not.
Good video. But anyways, from an art standpoint, who's the designer here? Nikola Nikolov. So, I guess his father was Nicholas, too. I don't know. It's cool. It's
cool. Well, Dolly, as the designer, literally here.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Literally, I know.
Literally. And he could say that name correctly.
Yes. Designer Nikola Nikolov.
See? Oh, sexy.
It is kind of cool having two first names, right? Nikola Nikolov, I guess.
Dolly and Demov.
No,
not really.
Not so much.
No. So what's your stance on this thing?
I, too, think it looks very cool. The one thing that kind of scares me is, speaking of stances, the stance that he's taking, which the artist describes as kind of a position of ready surprise in the moment between knowing what he was and knowing what he has become, which I don't really know what that means, but it looks like he's about to accept a pass from Kobe going down the court. So maybe he's meant to be an L.A. Laker.
Yeah.
I was going to say in red, maybe he thinks he's one of LeBron's teammates
yes,
or something.
Yeah,
of course, if LeBron, he's not going to get the ball. So
yeah, that's true. So he'll always be in surprise then, I guess,
mm-hmm.
waiting.
So I did some research because I know in the Soviet Union they didn't really have nameplate names. This LADA Samara Diva, apparently the name when it was in the Soviet Union was Vaz 2008. That's the name of the model.
But if it was a diva, shouldn't it be a woman?
You'd think.
They've just got
Although
used
I
to,
suppose
like,
it is possible to have male divas.
Give it a stripper pole.
I've known a few male divas in my time.
You talked to Ben, yeah. So, yeah. Pretty cool sculpture.
Yeah.
Guy's got a lot of talent welding this thing up. It's not something I could do. I know that much. But moving along, Dolly, you've got our next body-themed story here, and it ties in with something we're going to do later in our auto gadget segment. Another story on Autoblog here about the Chevy Volt and the new Xbox Kinect.
Yeah, basically what the premise behind this little kind of joint effort between GM and Microsoft is that Microsoft's been working on this game called Joyride. They've been working on it for a couple years now. They just actually recently moved it over to the Kinect, which is their hands-free motion controller, which we will talk about more later. The kind of unique thing about this is Joyride is almost like Mario Kart, which, by the way, we need another Mario Kart outing. Guy, just letting you know.
Okay. Well, Ben's got to get it on the thing. Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, so they're putting a Chevy Volt in the game. So it's the first step in kind of including a lot of advertising and marketing efforts to really push automobile sales and brand and stuff.
Advertising, marketing.
It's basically advergaming is what we in the know call it. And, yeah, I will guarantee you that 99.9% of the people who play this game will never play this, never be this vehicle.
Who would want to drive a Volt? I mean,
who'd want to drive a Volt? Exactly.
It's on a Windows-based phone. I mean, what is that, 0.1% of the market?
Yeah.
No one's going to buy it.
Well, it only makes sense if one of the qualifications for a particular car is that it's, you know, gas-fueled. And you have to, you get depleted more often, or if you're electric and, you know, part electric or whatever, you know.
There wasn't any of that,
right?
Well, there wasn't any of that in the game, actually.
So what's the point of having the Volt then? It's like, here it is, marketing.
It's totally marketing because the game is all about doing tricks off of ramps, which I will, you know, I don't know if you want to launch a Volt off a ramp anytime soon, but.
No.
Or an Audi A3 and a half pipe, right?
But it's got electric exhaust. Look at that. Yeah, lightning like comes out of the exhaust. Does the real one do that?
Like that's Emperor awesome. Palpatine, yeah. Ben.
Is this ion trail? Yeah, is this going to happen on the real car?
Oh, if this is the real car, I'd buy it.
It would actually be cool then.
Yeah, it might actually be cool.
And it's a convertible they show too. Mm-hmm. I mean, what the hey? That's kind of awkward looking. Kind of like.
And it's got volume controls on the back.
Circumcise the roof off and call it a day.
So I have a question for Dolly. Ben. How do you think the Kinect will work for a racing game?
So I had a chance to try it. Do we want to save this for later on?
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, let's save it for later on.
All right.
Ben's like a
okay,
kid in a
fine.
Candy store.
That's what you call a tease.
Sometimes, you know, he just keeps reaching up on the counter
you
there.
You teased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called promotion, Michelle. It really
oh.
is.
Oh,
actually, yeah. I have another question, though, then, oh. for you, though, is what do you think of the Volt's design in general? Does it seem compromised-looking to you, too?
I mean, you know, the original concept was cool, had a really cool stance, and GM keeps trying to justify that, hey, we didn't change it that much. We still kept the
It's still got
headlamps.
A Chevy badge on
still
it.
Still got a Chevy badge on it and honeycomb grill. But it's fine for what it is, I guess, is what...
Well, you the aerodynamics
say.
Are really
yeah, good. And that's really what's pushing it. I mean, the actual styling effort, it's it you know, it kind of looks Meh. Like 1980s.
That's the best they could probably do.
They had. Yeah, well, I mean, you look at not that I'm a fan of the Prius or the Insight, but they're pushing things a little bit more. I guess so. I don't know.
They're pushing things by looking back to something straight out of late 50s with the cam tail.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
It sort of seems like it's betraying Chevy. You know, Chevy says mm-hmm. they're going to come up with the design language is going to be across all their cars, and the Volt's not like you know the Traverse or the Malibu or you know any of them. It doesn't really have any Corvette or Camaro influences to me, at least. So
right,
it
and
it's sort of random.
It does look like it's. I mean, it's very boxy. You know, when you look at it, it's very hard edge, and it does. You're right; it does not fit with anything. A lot of the stuff that they're doing right now.
You liked the concept, you said.
I liked the stance.
I thought it was kind of odd.
It was odd, but I liked the proportion mm-hmm. and the stance of it. I didn't mm-hmm. necessarily like the details, but the had kind of this, I don't know, the squat, raised,
vagrant kind of
yeah,
stance.
Yeah,
crouching over a bonfire.
Crouching over a bonfire with
an electric
boil
a
pig
fire.
Yeah. It reminded me of coal miner, really.
A Welsh coal miner.
A Welsh coal miner.
Okay, I'm not sure how that
fits anything. I don't even know where we went with that one, but...
Well, we'll leave it in the dust, then. We'll set that
in
aside.
Coal dust?
Coal dust, black lung, yeah.
Can't let it go.
So I've got our next story here, and well, Michelle, I believe you found this one, but I was laughing when I read it. Mexico City.
Of course you would, anorexic.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
I starve myself for you, Michelle.
I know.
Mexico City has put some of its huskier police officers on a diet.
Big boned.
Big boned, yes. Some 2,000 obese, that's such a harsh word, though, husky Mexican police officers are attending weekly psychological counseling sessions and following strict diets that limit their food intake to 2,400 calories in an effort to trim their waistlines. Now, what does this have to do with cars, you say? Well, not a whole lot, but police often do pull you over when you're driving, so... Fair enough.
So what you're saying is, like, if you in Mexico City run from these people, and you probably get away.
There is nothing funnier than seeing a fat man running, though.
Because they can't do it for very long.
Shut up.
My only interaction with, like, Mexico City police, it's, well, you know, they're obviously really corrupt. So we were going down the highway or whatever, and we had, like, we had, like, 20 people in this Nissan. I don't know what they call it because we don't have it in our country. No, it's something smaller and cheaper than that, and it's, like, one of the most popular cars in Mexico. And we had a million people in it, so the cops pulled us over for that, and they're like, well, you know, we could give you a ticket, or you can give us all the Starbucks coffee you're drinking right now.
Was it a Micra? Nissan Micra?
Let me look that one up, and I'll tell you in a moment. But yeah, and the coffee was half, you know, half done already. So,
well,
you know, they're like that though. When I was in Baja last year, we got stopped at a Federales point, like in the middle of the night, and we had our headlamps around the. What do you call those things that you fold down to keep the sun out of your face?
Visors.
Yes, those things. And the guy was like, nice flashlight, nice flashlight. So we gave him our little flashlights, you know. and then he starts like going through everything in the car. And I had like the glove box full. I had grocery bags full of candy for all the kids that follow the race. And so I ended up like kind of turning to the guy and giving him a handful of candy. And he was like, oh, and he called all these Federales over and they all came over and were like holding out. They came with like their shirts held up so that I could just like pour candy. They were like little kids themselves.
Wow.
So you gave them all the candy?
It was all of our leftover Halloween candy. So what do I care?
Was there any razor
blades in it, right?
They're like Mudfoot in the old Fat Albert Halloween.
All right, Eric, it's the Nissan Tucuru. 2011. You should really look it up. It's like, I don't know. I think it's the Nissan Altima we had in 1994.
They're Toucan still selling
it. Sam.
So, Colin, you were just down in Mexico City. Did you notice how do I put this politely? A weight problem?
No.
With the law enforcement down there?
Stocky.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a sign of wealth.
Yes,
it is. Too much corn in the diet, I guess. I don't know.
Well, on the bright side, this article, which comes from the National Latino... No, that's the article. I'm sorry. La Prensa, Michelle?
Yes.
Yes, Craig.
That's
yes.
Fine. It says the officers who are participating in the program, voluntarily, mind you, they've lost nearly 2 tons of weight in less than a year. 2 tons! That's 4,000 pounds.
Yes, but Mexico City is a town of 22 million people, so they probably have 10,000 cops on the payroll. So
actually, 33,000.
Okay, so they each lost, what, half a pound? Not even?
But 2 tons sounds so dramatic, Eric.
Think about that plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills that was recycling the people's fat that he was sucking out into fuel for his cars. Do you remember that guy?
Yep.
This guy could, like, fuel Roswell, New Mexico.
That's like the storyline to Fight Club, wasn't it?
They were making soap. Yeah.
They were making soap.
Yeah.
Out of fatties.
Yep.
Lie.
Lie.
You lie.
No.
The chemical.
The
lie. Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, but Craig didn't, so.
No, he didn't. So I don't mean his people. So, Colin, you've got our next whatever it is.
Story?
Yes, yeah. That would be what it's called. It's on Michelle's favorite site, Jalopnik.
Yeah, this is courtesy of Jalopnik. I guess
is
it came
this Michelle?
From my Fox first, or Fox News, so who knows?
That's why I had to cut my hair off.
Sorry.
Yeah, so it's about this woman named Sylvina Bagley. You know, this real respected woman, I guess, PTA president, devout Mormon, what have you. Well, apparently she was driving her car butt naked, and
as one does,
she left her car on idle and hid in the bushes and stole somebody else's car who was putting signs out on lawns. The guy, so the other guy gets into her car, chases her, chase ensues, you know, and she. I can't remember if she crashed her, but she ended up all bloody and sweaty, is what they said. And the cops came. They tried to, you know, tame, you know,
she's
grab her.
She's crazy, though.
Grab her, put it in her cop car. But since she was all sweaty, she got loose. she took their car, the police car, and drove away with that. Ended up on, like, some piece of commercial property or some private property. Got out of the car because they you know chased her down again and tried to scale a barbed wire fence, which she did
naked. Jeez,
and then
she was mark.
She was tased.
Well, she had it coming.
Yeah. By the way, she has her own blog, and she says that people who are diagnosed with bipolar that's just disparaging and that's not real. And so,
well, she yep, is she a Mormon or is she a Scientologist?
That's what I was going to say.
Sure.
And she has her degree in history from the University of Utah.
Yeah. She's got a Facebook update about how she's going to plead guilty here for disturbing the peace.
Now, Michelle.
Yes.
Have you ever been nude and tried to evade the police before?
Well.
So I
got
what's your definition of nude?
What's your definition of a void?
I got caught skinny dipping in the neighborhood, like community pool, as a teenager with a bunch of other people, and had jumped a fence and, yeah. But we didn't
so yes, you have. Did you steal a car afterwards or two cars?
No, it was really funny. Like after we gathered our clothes up and, you know, got dressed, the police officer looked at my license, and I have to say this quietly because I'm at my dad's house, and he looked at my license and he goes, "Are you Phil or Raymond's daughter?" Because he knew both my dad and my uncle.
No.
And I said Phil's, and he was like, "Okay, don't do this again."
I'm amazed you had a story about that, Michelle.
Always a story.
You're the new Zach Bowman.
But don't you think it's weird that they don't still have confirmation on why she was naked in her own car, and why did she think she needed to take somebody else's car?
Yeah, that's very bizarre.
And she stole three people's cars. I mean, she's really good at that too. This is like straight out of a movie.
It's funnier than a movie. You know, this just shows the hilarity of mental illness. You know?
This is funnier than that family getting hit by the bus.
I know. I'll put my shoes in the freezer next week. That's awesome.
So are you saying that since she says bipolar disease is a scapegoat illness, that she in fact has that disease? You think that's what this is about?
Well, it doesn't say if she had symptoms before. It sounds like this just happened randomly and for no apparent reason, you know? The way the article is written. So who knows? Colin, we're going to put you on the crazy person, naked woman, thief, kleptomaniac beat.
That'll be your
beat. We want you to get to the bottom of this, all right?
I'll investigate further. Don't worry.
You're closer to Utah than we are, so.
I'm pretty sure it was meth. I'm pretty sure that's the answer for anything like this.
Well, you're adjacent to Utah, aren't you? In Chicago there? No? Well, at least no. It's the state over then.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah. Whichever works. So, Colin.
Yeah.
You just did the last story.
How about another?
Just thought I'd share. Michelle, that's who I meant to say.
Nice recap.
Yeah, so let's recap what we just talked about. So some crazy naked lady.
So in summary.
Yes.
Speaking of crazy naked ladies, Michelle.
Yes, thank you. Michelle, you've got our next story about miniature vans and how they're Chrysler's working on something for the fellas out there.
Isn't it exciting? There is nothing that is more appealing and sexy to me than a man in a miniature van.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if it's a van. Swagger wagon.
Oh. Gonna get the stack of Benjamin.
Yeah, that's a Toyota. I don't go for those.
Actually, to totally rat hole segue us, one of the for some NBA players and some of NFL players, they actually are into big full-size vans just because of the amount of room in them, mm-hmm. and there's some pretty tricked-out stuff. So,
It's tricked-out how?
Like hardwood floors.
Oh.
Like 5,000-watt stereos, 42-inch flat screens. Like, I mean, they're pretty wild.
Like an episode of Cribs.
Or Pimp My Ride.
Pimp My Ride, yeah.
Pimp My Ride.
Or what was the one, the New York one?
Anyway,
on
Michelle.
Channel. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
No.
No, I don't.
Anyways.
So, Michelle, what's going on with Chrysler and manly minivans?
The Wall Street Journal is reporting that there is a product coming out from Chrysler that they are going to – they're calling the man van, which, you know, I'm a little bit skeptical about this because – because Chrysler is very loath to talk about future product ever. But, yeah, there's this man van, supposedly, coming out that would have a sportier look on the outside, which I'm not sure how you'd make any van, man van or minivan look sportier. But the interior would be, you know, have special trimmings and appointments suitable for a gentleman. I wonder if that ad they did, remember the ad like a month ago that had the guys like barreling through the desert
with kittens chasing them or whatever?
Yeah,
that didn't make any sense.
The kitten ones, I didn't get those either.
Kittens?
But I think they were
Chicago Talk for Children. Little kittens.
The chillins. I had them chillins chasing after them.
Kidlins.
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 Kidlins and bits.
Kidlins and bits.
Are we talking about eating babies again?
Yeah, I think we are.
So tender.
It's one thing to try to make charger owners feel more manly. It's something else to – I think it's a little bit condescending to try to make men feel better because they have to drive a minivan.
Well, what's the panel's opinion on this? Is a man van possible? One, and two, would it sell if they did it?
I mean, I just think it's just going to be, you know, they have these new names for their models, right? I think they even renamed the one of the caravans to be called Hero now. One of the trim levels is the Hero level,
and the Hoagie,
and they have the Heat level and all that. And I think it's going to be one of those. I don't think it's going to be really dubbed the Man Van. I'm sure that's just a code. Because the dealer says that that's what he wanted to call it or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, they already have this, I think, like in that the SXT model. Mm-hmm. They just put, like, lower sills on it and 17-inch rims. I know a lot about minivans. I'm sorry.
What about you, Dolly? Would you buy a
scaring.
What would you do, Dolly, to give a minivan up masculine overtones?
That's very tough to do. Just knowing from efforts in the past and all those years I spent sketching minivans in college.
So
courses.
None.
So none.
Well, here's the thing. If you were driving it, maybe not so much, but if you had a driver, you could probably do something pretty cool, couldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. I think you're onto something there. I'm going to write that one down and take it into work on Monday.
Here's an idea that I was thinking of. I kind of like this idea. What if? Okay, you know, the Dodge Grand Caravan, for instance, it's not a bad-looking vehicle, really. It's not radically beautiful or an Audi S5 or anything, but it's not hideous. It's not a good Toyota Previa.
Good German engineering.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Rotan.
Yes. But
sorry. No one will ever know.
Yeah. But what if, okay, so what if they took like the Grand Caravan, gave it a body kit, maybe some special paint colors, maybe that like aluminum-ish mm-hmm. look, lower it, give it some nice wheels, maybe some rocker trim, and then maybe get rid of the third row seat and have some really nice second row buckets, really comfortable, reclining something.
So you mentioned a moment ago of the Pimp My Ride, that type of thing. It's almost the point where the man vans, they aren't necessarily the same as minivans, right? Because we're going to use our vans differently than a soccer mom might. We're going to store power tools in the back, take them with us while our kids are in the second row. So I think you're probably right. It may be more of almost turning this into a Pimp My Ride exercise with really comfortable second row seats for adults as well as kids.
The other thing where do men
take their power tools though? Like the power tool matches?
we have a Saturday.
You go to your buddy's house and help him work on his house or his basement or his car or whatever. So.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, I take my air compressor with me almost everywhere, every weekend, somewhere. There's some event where I need an air compressor.
Some dust to blow off or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the other thing you could do, and you could almost take your cue from what Ford did with the Transit on this one, is you could make it more outdoorsy. For people who like haul
Eddie
mountain
bikes.
No. That's douche level. I'm talking about people who are real outdoor people who are like, mountain biking, kayaking, stuff like that. You could make it a little more rugged so that it fits more of an outdoor lifestyle or hunting, stuff for hunting and stuff like that. So.
This idea could actually work, I think, if they differentiated the van, put the Hemi in it. I know they'd have to re-engineer everything.
Right,
a front-wheel drive
V8 with about 9,000 pounds hanging over the front in front of the front axle. That would work well.
All-wheel drive, Eric.
Yeah, but you guys are giving
that. Here's the evolution of the van from my perspective. So in the 70s, guys drove the vans, right? And they kitted them out, and they became those like super cool, like customized vans. And women started like wanting to be badass. They started driving them. Then those women started using them to haul their kids. Then became the evolution of the minivan. Meanwhile, the guys started all driving, crew cab trucks and Suburbans and whatnot, other oversized things. And so the women decided in order to be badass, they needed to drive those. So then the minivan died. So all that's going to happen here is that you guys are going to get a man van for about 5 seconds, and women are going to take it over, and you're going to have to go find something else to play with.
Go estrogenize it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Did you guys see the other part of that where they're saying that they sort of confirmed that Chrysler's getting a version of the new Dodge Durango, and they're going to call it the Citadel? I know that they trademarked the name Citadel. I didn't know what they were going to put it on, but...
So you have to go to South Carolina, be all hot and sweaty in a 1870s era uniform, march in line.
It's a new Chrysler Aspen, I guess. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, this reminds me. There's an old concept car that Ford did called the Showstar. It was basically their Windstar with the Taurus SHO drivetrain. So that's pretty good. They had the manual transmission, 5-speed. Yeah. That would actually be pretty.
But why
cool.
does it have a contour nose on it?
Why not, Eric?
Yeah.
Why not?
Actually, the Contour wasn't a bad car.
Wasn't a bad-looking car, driving car, but it had lots of other issues.
Yeah.
The Mondeo Wagen.
There's a reason it was called the Ford Detour and the Mercury Mistake.
Speaking of which, I was looking at Jaguar X-Types last night on Craigslist just for giggles to see how much a Ford Mondeo was. They're still getting like $9,000 to $12,000 used for those cars. I was like, eh? Mm. Right, because I could get a XJ8 for the same price. I'm like, what do you think I'm going to buy?
Yeah.
What's your guys' opinion on the Chrysler minivans in general now that we have that new Odyssey? I don't know if you guys looked at it. And
holy crap, is that Odyssey nasty looking.
Oh,
I like it a lot.
Somebody vomited that thing out.
It's extremely functional. I mean, just reading up the stats and stuff.
Behind the sliding door, it looks like they slapped a whole different vehicle back there because the line just doesn't translate.
It's the Thunderbolt.
Do you remember? Yeah, the Thunderbolt. That's the concept.
It's like Mark of Zorro.
It's like the reverse MKT window line.
Yeah.
The designers kept telling us at the show, that it's supposed to look like two different cars, at least the concept was, and they stayed true to that.
I'll give Honda this. At least you're going to notice it, unlike most other Honda designs of late.
Yeah. notice the Cross Tour.
Yeah,
notice there.
Try to stay away as far as
the Civic is hideous.
Really?
The Europeans. I like the European.
Yeah, I like the European ones.
I'm talking about the North American one. It's just bad.
Well, I mean, you look at what's happened to minivans over the last few years. I mean, Nissan tried something really crazy with the Quest a few years back, which I don't know the exact numbers on that, but I don't see any of them on the road anywhere.
So terribly.
Yeah. So then you look at what Ford did, which was pretty much abandon them altogether and really focus on SUVs. And you look at what GM did, which is the whole Lambda platform. You got the Acadia, which is kind of like a man van when you think about it. I mean, all the my buddies that have kids and used to own minivans now have Acadias or
the Traverse.
Or the Traverse.
It's freaking
so
huge inside.
It may be a case where
it's smaller than a minivan, though.
Yeah,
I think.
Barely.
Well, it's got the height, and you can fit the 4 BHC to plywood in there. In a caravan, no problem. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Traverse can swallow that much.
It swallows an English Mastiff with lots of room to spare.
Yeah.
Got video to prove it. Anyways, moving on.
So, yeah, anyway, that's it for the news portion of the show. I want to talk a little about Audible.com. Now, before I get into that, though, just we'll be coming up after the break with a bunch of great stuff. Going to have some coverage of the E3 show. Dolly, you were there. Mm-hmm. When was that, last week?
Yep.
Yeah. Have a lot of auto gadgets in line with that. And, of course, we will get to our blind spot story of the week. But first, I want to chat about Audible.com. Have you ever heard of audiobooks before? Ben, are you familiar?
No.
No?
Well, tell me.
They are fantastic. And I want to recommend that you open your web browser right now and type in the following URL. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
It's audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Go ahead. Do it now.
Click, click, click.
Again, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Audible is an online service where you can download audiobooks, as its name implies. They have more than 75,000 titles in their library. Dolly, 75,000, can you believe that?
Amazing.
I know. There's literally something there for everyone, even you, Eric. They've got titles, I mean, all kinds of great stuff. Fiction, nonfiction, history, live performances. Classics, romance novels, you name it, it's practically there. And I encourage you to go there right now, again, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow, and download an audiobook for free. It'll be yours to keep, absolutely F-R-E-E. Just sign up for the trial. Ben, I believe you had a pick of the week as well, something that you found on Audible that you really liked.
Indeed I do. Now, this is a book that I've recently been re-listening to because I've been a fan of Audible for quite some time, but a very enjoyable book. And I thought, in the spirit of our upcoming Great American Roab trip, a week away,
hint, hint,
that we would take a look at Assassination Vacation. This is by Sarah Vowell, who you might know from This American Life and other NPR stuff. Kind of a funky, unique voice. But she took a road trip across the country visiting all of the relevant historical assassination-related spots.
So where William McKinley was gunned down?
Exactly. And this actually, like a lot of audiobooks, it's not just read by one person. They bring in all sorts of people. This one, just to name a few, Conan O'Brien, sorry, Jeff, Stephen King, John Stewart, all of these guys, when she will have quotes from Abraham Lincoln or William Harry Henderson. Or oh, so here we go. In order of appearance, Conan O'Brien plays Robert Todd Lincoln. Stephen King is Abraham Lincoln. Dave Eggers is Mike Ryan. Catherine Keener's in this. Anyway, great stuff. A very enjoyable, hilarious, but also very informative book.
Hmm. And you love people getting gunned down, Ben. So
it's sort of my thing.
Right up your alley.
Yeah.
He has the people getting gunned down fetish podcast. So, yes, again, please swing by audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Sign up for the free 14-day trial and download a free audiobook of your choice. Just about anything on the store you can pick up.
Assassination Vacation. That's our pick for the week.
Very good choice, Ben. So one last time, that's audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow, and we thank them for their support. And anyway, it's time to move on to our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. This week we've got a story about our favorite reminder of the good old days of Soviet-era communism, this side of Alexander Lukashenko's Belarus. That's right, we're talking about North Korea. I found this story on Reuters, and I was kind of chuckling because it just seemed so absurd. And it has a very tenuous car tie-in, but I wanted to do it anyway, so... What are you laughing at, Colin?
Tenuous or round touch-up? Yeah.
Never mind.
Really?
Just keep going.
Never mind. It's an inside joke. So, okay. Reuters reports that North Korea is putting great effort into preserving the environment. I'll repeat that again. They're putting great effort into preserving the environment.
They're good guys.
They
don't let anybody have cars, and they don't have electricity in most places. There's no.
The state-controlled media said on Tuesday that scientists were inventing new ways to cut air pollution and protect the environment. Now, Eric, how do you think this is possible for such a small, isolated country to do this?
Because they have no economy,
or they're just not doing it at all. But I digress. This is absurd. Why are they even bothering with this like green movement when half their people are starving? I don't understand.
I think it's because they have this issue of like a million PR releases, and then they get put in South Korean press, and then sometimes they leak to us.
But here's a very arresting line. Researchers have developed a new material for removing exhaust fumes from automobiles so as to cut the greenhouse gas emissions and reduce air pollution 35 to 40%. That was from the Korean Central News Agency.
And well, they invented the catalytic converter. Good for them.
I thought it was ground-up dissidents.
The dissident air filter.
We're back on Soylent Green again?
Yes, I think so. So, Michelle, what's your experience with North Korea? I know you're a world traveler.
Wow. Well, my best friend used to live in South Korea, actually, very near the border. And... she said it's really spooky because you can see across Dead Man's Land and there's just darkness at nighttime.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm reading somewhere here that 3 out of 4 of the factories in North Korea, I guess they're analyzing the plumes that are coming out in June, and that 3 out of 4 of them are idle, and a lot of the workers that all these state-run enterprises aren't getting paid anymore. And they basically just live on the 2 pounds of rice rations they get. So it sounds awesome.
Well, that's the communist ideal right there, isn't it? I mean,
suffering. Oh, I wanted to send you guys the North Korean manufacturing company. Is this a chat here? No? Oh, sorry. I'll put it in there.
He's confused.
It's his first time on the show. Cut him some slack, Michelle.
Oh, but apparently the country only has 25,000 cars if we have to keep it car-related.
See, they're doing their part. They're closing down their factories. They've invented a new substance for cleaning up the air.
I hear it's one of the cleanest cities in the world to live in, though, of over a million people. So I guess that's a plus.
Kim Jong-il is a neat freak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but his unitard is always
he's a neat
perfectly
guy.
Pressed.
But you have to be selected to actually live there.
Yeah, no mentally challenged, no pregnant people, and no old people. That's what I've read.
Hmm. That means the roads are free of things to hit or slow drivers?
In the apartment that you're assigned, there's a speaker which broadcasts informational programming, like 24/7.
Hmm.
Kind of like Comcast.
I don't know. Thankfully, I am not subject to concepts.
I was going to say, I hope they're not an advertiser.
I'm a WoW customer.
So, yeah, swing by the show notes and check out this link if you want to read the North Korean propaganda hilarity. But, it's nice to know that they're doing their part to help Mother Earth. I kind of admire them for that.
Yeah, I posted a link of one of the cars they sell there. It's like a modern... truck car thing, kind of wanted.
PMC, the Pyonghua.
The Primor DX.
That, oh, I see why you posted it. It's got birds on the logo.
Yep.
Like doves or something.
You really have a thing with birds.
I do.
I'm not so sure it's healthy.
Hey, don't judge.
And with that, guys, we can take a peek in the garage.
Holy
shit. Oh, my God. Chunk.
It'll all work out in the wash.
Well, I did that one to myself, so I don't have anyone else to blame.
Sorry.
She's singing a North Korean folk song. We the great people unite behind eternal leader.
What do we drive?
Hey, I have been driving a Volkswagen Jetta Sportwagen. Any of you guys been in one of these before?
Only at the car show. But it is one of my favorite cars that I would buy if I actually had a real job.
It's a spunky little grocery getter, Germanic styling.
You got the massive
at
sunroof
first glance,
in it.
The word sport and...
Whoops, sorry.
I don't know. I don't think it has a sunroof. I've only been in it for a little bit. And it's a pretty stripped-down model. I think the sticker price... was like $21,000 out the door. So it's kind of lacking for options. It's got the single disc CD player for the sound system. Pretty basic.
Does anyone use CDs anymore?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
I could do without one altogether.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty useful. Yeah,
as long as it's got an auxiliary jack or a USB jack into it.
It's only got the aux in, but hey. Can't all have USB ports. Those are like $3 a piece or something, you know?
Has it got the crappy five-cylinder motor, though?
Ugh. Don't get me started on five cylinders. I hate five cylinders, Eric.
Well, actually, there's been two good five-cylinder motors.
Which ones?
The 2.1-liter turbo
Audi.
Audi.
What, rally car engine?
About 9,000 horsepower out of that one. The Volvo five-cylinder hasn't been bad.
Yeah, it's still, they just sound so awkward. There's something not right about the way they sound.
So you're self-hating? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Eric. And the VW one, it's kind of like gritty feeling. I mean, it's not harsh, but
it feels like half of a R8 motor.
V10, yeah. It's kind of, I don't know. It's not my cup of tea.
They just scrap it and just put the four-cylinder, yes, two-liter turbo and offer no other motor other than the TDI?
The TDI or the two-liter turbo. I love both of those, especially the turbo. It's probably my favorite four-cylinder, the VW Audi 2.0T. Awesome engine. It's smooth. It's powerful. It's efficient. And it sounds good because they've got that noise tube. You know about noise tubes, Michelle.
So what do you guys think of what do you guys think of the new model? The new released last week. The new Jetta.
Oh, I haven't had a chance to look at that one yet.
Was released last week. Yeah. The picture
sort of looks cheap.
Val Craig was in Germany meeting with his fellow ex-members of the Stasi.
The Gestapo, Eric. Get it straight.
Well, yeah, the big thing about the new Jetta is that it undercuts the Cruze and the Focus. I mean, so they say. So it's going to be... one
what
of the more affordable compact sedans.
They're building it in Mexico.
They actually got rid of the... they've always built it in Mexico, but they got rid of the rear link independent suspension and put in a basic torsion beam.
Lame.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
The Cruze has that, though, too. Something like that.
One of my old clients when I worked at American Express, he was the chief pilot for Volkswagen, and they used to fly down. He used to fly down to
Puebla.
To Mexico. Yeah, to Puebla.
Yep.
It's actually where he met his wife.
Mm.
She was smoking hot. She was.
So
was
yeah.
She?
Hmm?
Was she?
She was.
Smoking
really?
Two packs a day from the air, or
no?
No. All right. So yeah, Volkswagen Jetta Sport Wagon.
You like it or no?
I do like it. It's a wagon. Although I gotta say, it feels cheaper than the previous version. I know they took some cost out of it to, you know, make some more money for themselves. But I don't know what's going on. It just doesn't have that super solid feeling that most German cars do. So I don't know. Five-cylinder engine, not a fan of it. It's a five-speed. I mean, shouldn't it be a six-speed manual nowadays? Kind of lacking there, I think.
See, half the time I think six-speeds are not a waste, but they're sort of superfluous. They're there just because everyone else has one, not because it's really assisting in either acceleration or mileage.
It's nice to have, though. And what else? Oh, other
so
than that.
So are paper clips.
Huh?
So are paper clips. I have the same feeling about six speeds as well. I'm kind of like, eh. In most cars.
And besides, eight speed transmissions are the new six speed transmissions. So
yeah, automatic makes me sad. I like the good old fashioned manual, but hey, what can you do? So yeah, VW Jetta Sport Wagon. Check it out if you like a wagon. Lots of room in the back. Nice looking car. Drives well for what it is. Can't really complain. It's quiet.
Yeah, for $21,000, I mean that's actually cheap these days. I mean that's cheap these days.
Absolutely, it is. But one feature I absolutely loved, the power windows. They're express up and down, all of them. They spent the extra like $6 on relays for the switches or whatever it takes, and it works.
What about the children, though, Craig?
The children, I don't care.
Thank you, Zach Bowman.
Think about the children.
Yeah.
I thought about the children, and I decided I had thought enough about them.
Not enough, yeah. So anyway, moving along, I hope your seatbelt is securely fastened across your lap because it's time for another installment of Auto Gadget. And boy, howdy, we've got an extra special edition of it for this week. Dolly, you were at the E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, which is, a big video game conference?
It's Electronic Entertainment Conference. Yeah, it's mostly video games, but there's also some user interface and software stuff that goes on there.
Michelle was too embarrassed to ask, but she wanted to know, since it's electronic entertainment, does it include vibrators?
What I said.
There was a pole dancing game there, I guess, and a lot of booth babes, so potentially.
So there you go. Oh,
that's was it developed in Russia?
Did you just vicariously ask something through Michelle, or did she actually
ask
that? Yeah,
but I never said, but...
Slanderous. So, yeah, okay, we've got a couple auto gadgets to talk about here first. So, Dolly, I'm just going to dump this on your lap. Mm-hmm. You're the newbie, sort of. Air for Android app turns Nexus 1 into slot car. So I see you have an iPhone, so you're probably not a big Android user, or you even care about Android.
Not a big Android user. I do like Android, though. I think it's a solid platform. So, I actually think it's very cool when you can control toys from cell phones. And while I'm not super familiar with the slot car controller, speaking of E3, there were a lot of little racing games that you could control with either your Nexus or your iPhone, little helicopters and stuff. So
that's cool.
I think this stuff is actually really, really interesting to me at least because I can control all my little gadgets now and all my toys from the same instrument, the same little tool.
Pocket appliance.
Yeah, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can go wrong with this.
Well, why don't we just jump right into E3 then? Couple big things at the show, the Nintendo 3DS, I'm sure you had some time with that, and also the Microsoft Xbox Kinect.
Yep.
Why don't you start off with the Nintendo? What was that like? I've heard it was kind of a big deal because it's 3D without glasses or goggles or anything.
Right. So here's where the the automotive designer in me comes out. So we're sitting in the press conference, and Nintendo trots out the 3DS, which is their portable update to their new or to their DS system, their handheld. And at the top screen is completely in three dimensions. Doesn't require glasses. It's basically parallax, which it's kind of like those stickers that we had back in the day with, you can turn it one way and you see one image and one way the other way. Kind of like that, but obviously a lot higher technology. So, just holding this thing in front of you, I mean, it was in 3D. It works. It's really cool. I mean, it was the point where people were leaving the conference calling, a bunch of us nerd guys were calling our wives, "Hun, you got to check out this really cool Nintendo thing." It was astounding. But like I said, so the automotive designer in me, as soon as I got done out of there, I called my boss up and said, "You've got to see this technology. We can use it in gauges and clusters on the dashboard because, a person in the optimal seating position sits in one place, right?
You're not jumping around the car.
You're not jumping around a car. Right, exactly. So you're going to be sitting in one specific position, and you arrange your whether you adjust your seat or arrange your pedals and stuff. So you can have this display tuned to you.
A 3D display.
A 3D display, which initially it sounds like, oh, you know, why would you need that? But when we saw this device, I mean, it really was astounding. It definitely changed your view of how information is displayed to you.
Well, just to play devil's advocate, if you wanted a real 3D display, couldn't you just have a real display?
Yeah, devil's advocate. No, it was it's kind of hard to explain at how well this worked in being able to change change the information at you. It's definitely something that you're going to have to see to believe.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a little slider on the side, I understand, that allows you to adjust like the focus almost so you get the 3D effect where you're standing or sitting or whatever.
I had it maxed out, and then you could slide it down to basically being a flat, typical LCD screen. Mm. The advantage of that, obviously, is for people who don't necessarily, you know, have to really tweak their 3D adjustment, but it's way better than using glasses, which is what Sony was pushing. Just sit in front of your TV with $100 to $200 glasses, you buy four of them for a family,
and get a migraine,
and get a massive migraine. So,
well, Colin, were you playing that watching 3D TV? Is that why you had the migraine?
No, it wasn't the exact thing that happened, but what do you think of the 3D TVs, by the way? Do you think that I read in the New York Times article that they said in a few years you won't need glasses?
In a few years, meaning probably about 10 years at the earliest.
And $10,000.
And $10,000. Yeah, right now, if you're looking to get any 3D-enabled TV, you're going to be spending between $4,000 to $5,000 for, you know, a comparable 42-inch plus size. And you still need to get the high
plus size.
You need a plus sized television.
You need a plus size wallet.
Yeah, literally. So literally. I mean, I personally will not invest in one until it can be glasses free technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how they came up with that right when they really needed something. They're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, 3D movies, 3D DVDs. They can't.
We're down to 5% margins on these TVs.
Literally.
Yeah.
We just finished HD. 3D, quick.
Right. Yeah, because we can't get people, like, let's see, we could go to 4K or 3D. Which would be better? Yeah,
these,
right.
These sound like a bunch of hokum to me.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds like a fad. I don't know. Give me HD and that's good enough. I'm half blind anyway, so.
Hey, people said the same thing about color and stereo. Well, what do we need rock and roll for? Get off my lawn.
It's the devil's music.
It's the devil's music.
We still have just CRT TVs in our house.
There you go.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other big announcement at the big show there was the Microsoft Kinect.
I would say that was the other big one.
There were what was that?
No, go ahead. There was a bigger announcement than the Kinect, but
what would you say?
I would say it was an actual shipping date for Gran Turismo 5.
Yes, and actually I will actually get to Gran Turismo 5. Let me talk about the Kinect first, because they all kind of tie in together. Yes, I'm
cohesive. He's trying to bring cohesiveness. Zenness.
For anybody watching the video feed, I'm going to be very animated, because it's all about motion. So, motion and emotion. So, Microsoft Kinect, which is their it's their hands-free camera. Camera looks at you and can kind of scan your body and determine what your movements are. Kind of a cool technology if it's done right. Of course, the stuff they showed us a bunch of casual games. We mentioned Joyride a little bit earlier, which is almost like a Mario Kart type of thing. But the thing I thought was very cool was the Forza demo they showed. So Forza, if anybody plays the Forza games, the racing games for the Xbox, are phenomenal, to the point where we've had 3 Forza games come out in the span between Gran Turismo 4 and Gran Turismo 5.
What does that mean in layman's terms?
It means... Microsoft has caught up really quickly to Gran Turismo, to the point where the Forza games right now are better than the Gran Turismo games until this next Gran Turismo comes out. So the cool tech they showed us was you could walk up to the camera, the TV screen, to the Ferrari, I think they had the Italia, and walk up to the Ferrari. You can do a full walk around of the vehicle just from your living room. You can reach out, grab the door handle, open the door, sit in the vehicle.
Those are quotation marks.
Yeah, quotation marks.
Can you hear? Did you hear the quotation marks? They made kind of a
snap. Get the quotation marks.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The
I think I threw my elbow trying to do that. Sit in the vehicle.
Pay workers' comp, yeah, exactly. So be careful.
You could, if you kind of leaned in towards the IP or the gauges or the seats or the headlamps, mm-hmm. a bunch of information would come up, tell you, you know, what their power, what their capacity was. And it got to the point where you could stick your hand out, turn the virtual key in space, grab the wheel, slam your foot down on the ground, and drive off in the distance. Oh. So once again, the car guy in me, of course, I was in love with it, and I'm a big gamer too, but I thought this could be – people are going to maybe not like this as much as I did, but it could replace the dealership experience for me.
Well, how did it exactly work? You've got the two cameras on the – there's a little bar I've seen for the Microsoft Kinect or the Xbox 360. It's got this little bar. It's got two cameras in it, right? And that somehow tracks your movement.
It's stereoscopic. Mm-hmm. So it can measure the depth. It measures your movement, and it can the software can remember faces. It can kind of learn your movements. Oh, it has a lot of the motions built in.
Okay.
So like I said, there's like
50,000
motions.
Confusing or kind of odd to me that you have no reference at all.
Correct.
But I guess you're seeing a person on the screen doing it, so you know where you're reaching then?
It actually was quite natural trying it out. Another one of those things where you have to try it out. I mean, obviously when Nintendo came out with the Wii, everyone's like, wow, I don't want to be jumping around. Then you try it out at your friend's house, and all of a sudden your grandmother wants to buy one, right? That's kind of the way it went. So, I mean, this is very much the same thing, testing it out, which Microsoft's going to have their little roadshow coming up here soon. Microsoft Antiques Roeb Roadshow. It's a very interesting thing. I personally like to hold controllers in my hand.
I'm
a hands-on kind of guy. But it was interesting to the point where I thought this could be something that you could download the latest car to your living room if you want to try out the next Ford Fiesta, do a lap around the ring.
But the thing virtually. Is, without any kind of feedback.
And exactly. That's the – so let me segue now into Gran Turismo.
Uh-oh.
So I had a chance to sit down and try the demo of Gran Turismo 5 in 3D, so I had the glasses on. They had the force feedback rumble seat. They had the pedals, and they had an actual professional wheel. A whole rig, probably about like a $5,000, $6,000 rig sitting there.
No thanks.
And quite expensive. But I took a Camaro, a new Camaro around the ring, around the Nürburgring, and I've got to say it was it. Controlled like the real car, felt like a real vehicle. Almost, I guess it's still obviously replicated, but feeling the rumble of the ground of the road, feeling
the rumble strip.
The rumble strip.
Not Eric Tritko.
I know. We're just kind of I'm waving. And so Sony,
you're keeping your hands over here. That's good.
So it was interesting because it was so lifelike. I think they've gotten to the point now where it's just gorgeous, stunning vehicles, stunning artwork, and I was completely floored. They actually had some head tracking, which wasn't working for a lot of people. We actually got it working for me, where the PlayStation Eye camera could watch watch my movements, and as I'm kind of leaning to left or leaning to right a little bit or looking around, I could look at the gauges or look out the side view and the rear view mirrors. So little touches like that made Gran Turismo 5
awesome.
And then they gave us the release date, which is November 2nd, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Did you pre-order it from the Apple Store? Order it already?
No, I'm actually going to be getting a review copy in. But no, it's just the demo I played. It's like finally we get Gran Turismo. And for those that have been following Gran Turismo, I mean, it was
going to be the next Duke Nukem?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I was going to say Gran Turismo games have always helped introduce some vehicles to the U.S. market. Like it really got the GTR popular amongst West Coasters was Gran Turismo 4 and Gran Turismo 3. And so, you know, to see what they'll do with GT5, I mean, they're incorporating Top Gear. They're incorporating, you know, day and night driving, all-weather driving. It's going to be pretty heavy duty.
Now, can you combine that with 3D?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I had the chance to put on the 3D glasses and drive around the track, and it worked okay. It wasn't as true 3D. I mean, I think when you're in an automobile and you're holding you're always looking off into the distance. You're not always staring at something in front of you. You're driving. You're looking at the road. So it didn't quite work as well as I thought it was going to. It was kind of a neat secondary thing. And it may have been something that Sony was doing differently because mm-hmm. they did kind of shoehorn in 3D at the last second. So
okay.
We'll see how it goes.
So in the order of coolness, what would you rank first, second, and third of those three things we just talked about?
The 3DS, I think, was the coolest because it was glasses-free. Mm-hmm. I mean, it, just that alone, I think, was awesome.
The fact that it's going to be, what, $200 for it or something?
Probably going to be – they didn't say a price, but it's probably going to be at $199, which is, you know, cheaper mm-hmm. than – almost anything out there. Kinect was really cool. So I'd say number one would be the 3DS. Number two would be trying Gran Turismo 5 with all the motion stuff and the rumble seat. And then number three out of all those would be the Kinect. But they're all great. I mean, it's if you're a gamer, you're gonna be broke these next 2 years. So
now, Colin and Michelle, are you guys either of you serious gamers? Play video games?
Not really, to be honest.
Yeah.
Except for Mario Kart.
Well, of course.
And the Wii.
I just have a Wii. I mean, I sold all of my other systems because I did, you know, the kids that would come over to the house just weren't interested anymore, and we play the Wii. That's it.
The interesting thing was on the 3DS they showed 3D Mario Kart, which
sweet.
You can see Toad. Cool. You can see Toad throw
getting
banana.
Smashed.
We just have a Wii at the house too, and I actually don't play that much.
Mm-hmm. Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Awesome game.
Awesome.
And I keep thinking, well, do I want a PS3 or do I want an Xbox 360? And it's like, well, it's more for everything else that I can do on top of rather than just play games. So I've got to make that decision on.
If you're looking at the complete package, personally, I chose a PS. I mean, I have both, but I chose a PS3 because you get the Blu-ray.
Yeah,
it's constantly updatable, and they're going to be the first. If down the line you ever do go to 3D, they're the first ones.
That's what I figured.
Or and Eric, if you're into illegal things, just crack your Wii.
Yeah,
that's what we did. Got a hard drive connected to it. You could do anything with it. I'm not afraid to say that on a pre-recording.
Now, Colin, is the Kinect? Now, since you're a Wii user, you probably like the motion controller. Is the Kinect something you think you would like, you know, violently gesticulating?
I saw that like once on Engadget, but until this discussion, I didn't really give it much thought. That's pretty amazing. I'd definitely buy something like that.
So here's my question about the Kinect. So let's take the racing game. Obviously, you steer by moving your hands as though you're holding a steering wheel. How do you accelerate? How do you brake?
So the demo for Joyride, it was kind of awkward because I had to, you know, hold my hands out in front of me and kind of pretend I was steering that way. And the car just kind of goes in Joyride. There actually is no gas or brakes in the demo that I tried. So it was you're basically just steering.
Sort of an iPhone approach.
Yeah, kind of like how the iPhone apps, the Real Racing on the iPhone does. Yep. And it's it wasn't tiring. So you can kind of hold it out to certain point in front of you and not be too tired.
It's got a telescopic then.
Yes, it's a telescopic. Yeah. Okay. But here's the problem. You can't use it sitting down, the Kinect. You have to be standing. And so that's the point where people were like, that's kind of
an
issue.
Disabled. Because that's pretty insulting.
It is actually. And there was one of the people that was following me in the demo was
Wait, did
was
Craig just say something sensitive?
What's that?
Did Craig just say something sensitive to disabled people?
That was heartfelt.
Craig had polio as a
yes, he did, and he still walks with a limp.
Who do you work
so
for,
really?
Craig?
So what? The camera can't pick you up if you're sitting down.
It's
of course it can't pick you up if you're sitting down. Then
this is a limitation,
but it does pick up what you're laying down.
Good news. No, it. I think it's the points of reference don't quite work as well. Perspective-wise, as you're sitting down, it kind of skews the camera, throws it off a little bit as to where your knees are and your toes and
this
shoulders,
is
knees and toes.
Yep.
This will be when it's in production. This will still be the case. You can't sit down while playing.
The person who's giving us the demo said, "Yeah, we're still tweaking it. We're still finalizing some stuff." So he wouldn't.
That just
give
seems
me
so counterintuitive for a racing game.
Right.
I don't feel like racing standing up.
And the,
that doesn't make any
or
sense.
What was it, the Nintendo Sports? You weren't a fan, Ben?
You could race Segways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There you go.
Sort of a random question about the Xbox. Is it actually successful? Like, I know it is in terms of market share, but in terms of making money for Microsoft, do you know that?
Yeah, it finally is turning a profit, and more so from Xbox Live. Here's some inside baseball. Because they charge you $50 a year to play multiplayer games online, they're making a killing on that. So they kind of require
$50 a year. Yeah. It's still a pittance. But
it is, but then you think about the 6, 7, 8, 10, 20, 30 million people who have to pay that to play Madden or Forza against their buddy. Then you're looking at a considerable amount of chunk of money coming in. And so, yeah, they're making money.
Didn't they just integrate the Zune on Xbox, too?
Yep, they did show us some Zune integration, and you're holding up the Zune in front of me. I just because I have an iPhone doesn't mean I don't like a Zune. I think the Zune is pretty snazzy. So, they also mentioned some Windows 7 stuff that they're going to be integrating. So that's still – you didn't hear it from me. It's still behind closed doors.
Oh, embargo breaker. Water breaker.
I'm a renegade.
I mean, we were while you guys were geeking out there, some of us were talking in the chat room about the Wii, and I mean, we already have.
Glad to hear
we
have your full attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's Michelle.
The Wii already has that camera out that started. They introduced it with the Jenny McCarthy workout thing, but they're starting to introduce more games now for it. And you know, the day I can kick ass on Zelda or on any, you know, the Force Unleashed or something like that, then I'll really be into it. But I don't think I would ever go and get an Xbox so that I could do this. I'm like a Mac person, but Wii. Like, I just love my Wii.
Yeah, is this white?
No, they come in black now, dude.
Oh, the black is sexy.
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
They don't just come in white. No, they don't just come in white. They come in black. I'm sorry.
Why is it always a race issue with you, Michelle?
I'm sorry.
Every time I listen to this show, I have to censor it.
It's
not kid safe.
Look who's coming to dinner.
Yeah.
Craig's laughing even though he has no clue what that reference is.
It's a motion picture, Eric. Didn't have Ernie Mac in it.
Ernie Mac?
Did you say Ernie Mac?
Yeah, Sidney Poitier.
First of all, he references
the second one.
He references the
oh my god, he did
the remake.
Yes.
Oh wow,
Sidney Poitier, one of probably the top 20 movies.
Don't care.
Okay, so to wrap this whole thing up, I'm going to ask something that has nothing to do with cars. How was the Zelda demo?
Badass. I will
That's
say that
wait,
it was Zelda.
Zelda what?
It's called Zelda Skyward Sword. It's for the Wii.
I'm so happy.
It was cool. I mean, it was beyond cool. It was one of my favorite games of the show, which was actually topped by Kirby.
Kirby
is awesome. I had it for the NES.
Yeah, this is the Kirby game that they had that's coming out this fall. Game of the show.
Is it a side-scroller?
Side-scroller, and it's yarn. It's everything's done in buttons and denim, and it's called the Kirby's Epic Yarn.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, Zelda was fantastic.
Was it like Twilight Princess or?
So they chose kind of an impressionistic art style. So being the art school kid, loved it.
I like Wind Waker.
So it's very cool. Look for it sometime in 2011, though they kind of pushed the date back. So probably March of next year.
Did Nintendo say anything if they're going to come out with another Wii, which is going to be a little higher res?
So
without buying a $400 or $500 upscaler.
That doesn't work. I'll leave it to speculation. But I will say, from what I know, what my sources are telling me is that next year at E3 this time they're probably going to debut the next Wii. And it's more than high def. I mean, everything that Nintendo has said is we're not just going to do a high def system. It's going to be something that really wows you, whether it's 3D or whether it's something that's being, who knows, maybe they're going to project something out at you.
Is it going to be the US instead of the Wii?
Yeah, there you go, yeah. So, everything points to next year as them debuting it. But the Wii is still super successful, and they don't really have a need to come out with a new one until their sales plummet, which they haven't yet. So
this, I'm looking at Wikipedia at this Zelda Sky Sword thing. Looks super cool. Not gonna lie.
Awesome.
What's the storyline behind it?
They didn't mention anything yet, but apparently Link now is in a Sky City, and the
it's like Mario Brothers 3.
It's kind of like Mario Brothers 3.
What was it? World number 5, Skyland.
Skyland, yes.
Adjacent to Waterland.
Awesome stuff. Yeah.
all the lands.
The big land. The awesome stuff about the Zelda game was that it's one-to-one motion control with the Motion Plus. So the angle that you slash a sword in is the angle that Link... I mean, it was pinpoint accurate. It was really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, highly going to recommend that one when it comes out. Just the preview they did was awesome.
Well, I'm jealous. It sounds like you had a good time down there at the E3. And Ben, you got to get us accredited as a tech podcast so that we can visit next year.
I'm on it.
I want to see Zelda.
Oh, I can get you guys in. you can come as my co-podcasters on my other website.
Or yeah, we're colleagues.
Yep, there you go. Yeah.
So anyway, guys, I think we're going to wrap this show up. Nice short one for a change. Record-breakingly short, I think.
Wait, but I have something new to say.
Oh, please, Colin, please.
Let's talk for another hour. No, well, I have nothing to say. I really don't.
Do you have something valuable to add for a change?
No.
Nope. All right, guys, let's bring this thing to a close. Eric Tritko.
Yes.
Rumblestrip.net.
Blog.webridestv.com.
What's going on in your world?
Oh, I need to get my ass back in gear writing some original content.
It's always the challenge.
Yeah, also, twitter.com/rumblestrip. Follow me.
All right, very good. And Mr. Bird. Hi. Colin Bird.
Huh? We got, Auto Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Got Camaro Review going up next week. We got a couple new writers. We got Bill Prosperi. I don't know if I can say his last name right.
Just
I'm sorry.
Farming out everything, aren't you?
Yeah. He wrote about Formula One. Yeah. He's a little Smurf guy on Twitter there. You should follow him. And
he's that little insignificant, creepy Smurf guy there.
And we wrote something like Where Are They Now? Sort of about GM's executives. I can't remember what TV show we were trying to.
That sounds really interesting.
And precise.
So, yeah, Colin Bird of the Auto Bird blog. Check it out. Lots of great content there. You better check it out, right?
I'm a subscriber, baby.
Are you? All right. And Michelle Naranjo from Roswell. Yes.
This week I'm in Roswell.
Yes. MissMotormouth.com. Miss Motormouth on Twitter. Where else are you?
Open Line on Monday nights.
Yay!
On
the Autoline Networks, Ben.
Yes.
Yes. What is Open Line for the people who don't know what Open Line is? Open our minds
Autoline,
to Open Line.
Autoline is an open telephone line, chat room, and audio stream where anybody can participate, and it's 5 to 7 hours at least of people just having open-ended conversation about all things automotive.
And beyond.
And you don't have to be there for 7 hours. No. I think people sometimes think, oh, my God, I'm never going to participate in a seven-hour show. No, it's 7 hours because you can be part of a half an hour of it.
You just pop in, chit-chat.
That's right, as you often do. Craig comes in, gives his little vehicle reviews.
My
Eric's
pithy
there.
Pithy little comments, you know.
Yeah. Runs in, throws a grenade, runs out.
Yeah, I've had awesome support the last few weeks while I've been, you know, doing some other stuff and from both Eric and Mira Dart, our loyal fan Mira Dart. So,
awesome. So, Open Line. Awesome. Where can people find Open Line, Michelle?
bit.ly/openline.
All right. Or it's also on the Autoline website at autolinedetroit.tv. That's every Monday night starting, 8 p.m. Eastern time?
That is right.
Very good. Look for the phone number to call in there, or you can do it over Skype if you choose to do.
And we also update the phone number on the Twitters. It's twitter.com/openlineshow.
Sweet. Mr. Dolly.
Yes, sir.
Now, just so our listeners know, that's Dolly like the artist Salvador, not Dolly like the singer Parton.
Well, correct. Or the llama.
Okay. So car
but it
design.
It is like the llama.
Yes. And it's llama, not yama.
Yama? Yamaka.
No, where I am, it's a yama.
Where you are, it's a yama. Correct.
So car design fetish podcast.
Yep.
You also do a side questing podcast?
Yep, we have sidequesting.com. We run our podcast there as well, and that's where we're reporting all our E3 stuff. So
what is side questing?
Side questing is the gaming blog that we started.
Did you run into the Iconic boys down there?
Yes, I did. No, I did not. Actually, I lied. I knew they had a couple folks there, but good old Brian wasn't down there.
Did you see Leo Laporte? Or?
I did bump. I actually accidentally ran into Leo while he was on the phone, I think, doing a quick call-in.
Andrea Notko.
Yes.
Or not.
Yeah.
Anyway. Also, Cool Rats on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. Anything else you want
cool
to
Cool with a K-E-W-L.
Correct. K-E-W-L-R-A-T-S.
Cool. That's how the kids spell it these days.
Yep. Yeah, that's all.
That's all. I'm done. You've wasted enough of my time, Craig.
Can I leave?
Ben Sanders. Mr. Sanders, thank you for your support.
Please book me.
Oh, wow. I thought Jeff Ross was on his honeymoon. Apparently not. Ben smuggled him into the control room. Ben, thanks for getting this up on the interwebs live. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Editing it, spending half your weekend editing it, literally.
Literally.
Appreciate it. And, yeah, that's about it. Twitter.com/Ben Sanders.
What are we doing next week?
Next week. We are a week away.
Do-do-do.
A mere week away from what we've been talking about for many weeks now.
Yes, we are.
The Great American Roab Trip.
It's just a week away.
As we travel across this great land, westward ho.
Conestoga wagon style.
That's right. In a Lincoln MKT. Equipped with all sorts of cameras and blogging equipment and goodies.
Ben, I told Ben this
is
a vacation.
What is blogging equipment exactly?
An iPad and an N97.
Ben is turning this into a great video production suite. He's purchased a slew of webcams that he's going to suction cup to all manner of windows in the vehicle. Maybe even have one on the roof. Look, you can stop making noise, Tyler.
Is there going to be a YouTube series?
It's going to be a mini-series. It's going to be Band of Brothers or something.
It'll be Ustream. If all goes as planned, you'll be able to tune in during our 24-hour drive to Yellowstone at any moment and see what's going on with us. You may just see the view out.
Who's
going
to want to watch 24 hours of people driving?
This is the misnomer thing. No, you don't want to watch 24 hours of it, but maybe you want to watch 5 minutes of it.
And then quickly leave.
Yes. God, no. God, no.
Right, Craig, because what you want to do is scare away more advertisers from the Roundabout show.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks.
Because you want to make the rest of us, you know.
So
who
anyway,
wants to watch Michelle eating a whole bag of Lay's potato chips? I don't know.
Hey, if we have
sitting
to, they
the
have to.
Seat, I'm sad.
Diet Coke. Nutson's French onion dip and Lay's potato chips will be our sponsors.
Oh, so yeah, that's the Great American Roab Trip. It starts next week.
To kick it off, Michelle will be here in studio.
She's
for Roab 42.
Yep. So she, Eric, scoot over.
While I'm still 42.
Childbearing hips have to make room for her. Sit down. And she's going to be in the studio.
Yeah. Do you have one of those extra wide arrow chairs?
We have an extra wide wheelchair I swiped from the airport, but it's double wides for the Mexican cops, I guess. But anyway, yeah, so check us out next week. Got Michelle in studio, and the Roab road trip kicks off. As
it's
always,
my virgin trip to the studio.
Yes, it is. You can see the Autoline Production Center. This is the nerve center for all of our work here. But anyway, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com. You can get more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. Give us a call on our Google Voice number. The phone number is 1-559-ROAB-411. Again, that's 559-762-2411. Give us a shout out, drop us a line, do whatever. Leave us hate mail if you want. We don't care. You can also follow us on Twitter.
We just want attention.
Exactly. We're also on Twitter, just twitter.com/roundaboutshow, and you can check us out on Facebook as
Facebook
well. Yes, Ben. Facebook.com/roundaboutshow. And if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and Dolly, I'm sure you never miss an episode.
Never.
Yeah, I mean, we're on episode 41 now. And
I like them so much, I join them.
I know. That's why you're here in the flesh. I mean, why you took time out of seeing your children to come here. Child.
Don't give his wife
again,
ideas.
Accuracy. Yeah. A hallmark of Roundabout.
So, yeah, if you never want to miss an episode, subscribe in iTunes or the Zune Marketplace. We're also there.
Stitcher.
And yes, Derek. Stitcher as well. You can listen to us on your mobile phone of choice, be it a BlackBerry, as Mr. Tritko has, or, Quick Dally, pull it out, iPhone.
Oh.
iPhone
3GS. I heard
3GS.
Quick Dally pull it out, and I got terrified.
Very nice. Beautiful suite of products here. You can listen to us on Stitcher anywhere you fancy. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
Now I put my radio voice back on and talk how I normally talk. Thank you.
You're listening to WROAB.
Rabies.
Michelle, why don't you sing us out as we go in the garage? Yeah.
Ow. Wait, hang on. I'm sorry. I had something open and I couldn't get it.
Michelle, do me a favor and close down AIM and all the other chat programs you're using right now.
No, I'm not chatting to anybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She just has 47 tabs open in her browser.
No, I don't. Wait, why did my chat room just... Oh.
Okay, guess what? In the garage.
And with that, folks, thanks to all of you out there listening.
Oh, my God! I just turned on the video. I just saw Dolly's face for the first time in my entire life.
Wow. You couldn't have saved that till after we'll see you around the roundabout?
She's really trying to say that it was too short.
No. Hi, Dolly. It's nice to see you. I just turned it on because we were at the end of the show, and I've never seen Dolly face-to-face before.
Well, we're not exactly face-to-face. I see a camera lens.
I can see you. I know.
Be thankful.
After he kills the lead, I can see you.
Yes. So can I wrap the show now, Michelle? Or?
Yes, please. Sorry.
Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us
Oh my God! Sorry.